Welcome to Coach Aria's podcast, Coach to Lead.
Hi everyone, I'd like to introduce to you our speaker for today's webinar, Mukta Shah. There's a lot to be said about her. I'm going to say a few pieces. And one of it is she's an MCC that trained and got her MCC 2 years ago. Right, Mukta?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And before a journey to becoming an MCC, she was already involved in many projects within the corporate space and running. She moved away from the corporate space to run a particular project called Kasturi, Singra?
Yes.
That focused on women progress, women development, and really enabling women to move from where they were to taking just one step out into an either an entrepreneurial space, a leadership space, just empowering them. Mukta will tell you more about the project as she moves into a webinar today. I will hand over to Mukta. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. And thank you everyone who have joined us today on this call. And even those future viewers who may connect with it later. So I welcome everyone now and for future. So at times, I will take this very experience as a statement to begin with. That when we start looking at women, most of the time than not, she creates her own self-limits by being overconscious about her own performance when the moments of leadership arise. So at times, her over-preparation can backfire. Whether it is in her personal life, whether it is in terms of her relations with people or professional careers. So somewhere, coaching plays a very important role in giving her the space where she can just be herself. And just by doing that, we actually end up empowering women, because women are the source of power themselves. If they just be themselves, they are already empowered. So just like any statue, every stone is has a statue inside, and a sculptor can see through. Similarly, every woman, because when my project is talked about, it is about women who are in the age group of 25 to 50. So most of them already mothers. So when you look at mothers and empowering them, they are the creator of human beings already in this very life. So what can empower them? They have already proven their empowered status. So what remains to be coached in this is help her be herself and be at ease. If we can create that, then we have actually covered most of the miles in empowering women. While whatever I may say will be equally applicable to every client, let us first see how it specifically applies to women also. First of all, let us talk for a few minutes about the significance of this entire specific way of coaching for women. Why women? And why women being talked about at a global level? So when we talk about empowerment in general, we think about technology, education, some access to resources. But what has been identified as a key reason for women empowered is her skills.
So all I was saying is, when it comes to empowering women, generally we end up talking about giving resources external to her. And what has been really seen during the root cause analysis across different countries is what actually going to empower women is helping her get out of her self-beliefs. So something within her needs to change at being level. And the best instrument for doing that is coaching. Hence, for genuinely empowering women, we need to focus on coaching for empowering women.
So what I'll be doing is sharing some of the examples from my work experience working with women social entrepreneurs. At the same time, we'll have some immersive actions to do as we go along. Starting with competency 2, which says developing, maintaining, and embodying coaching mindset that is open, curious, flexible, and client-centered approach. It is worthwhile to look at each of these words with women in mind. It says developing a coaching mindset while embodying it, and this time the definition is open, curious, flexible, and client-centered. So this openness, curiosity, and flexibility means quite uniquely different when it comes to women as the clients. It means how we can develop a sensitive presence. And my experience in that is quite unique in its own right. When we started working on women empowerment, questions were asked about her bodily presence, questions were asked about her literacy levels, about how stereotypically she is treated by others. And when we openly, curiously asked this to women themselves, their questions, the questions were answered in totally different manner. They themselves were found quite away from self-empowering affirmations. I'm talking about a context of rural Indian women farmers. So we ended up adapting our entire client-centered approach and turned towards coaching simply by providing our sensitive presence. The action for your experience I would like you to undertake is just recollect those people in your life whose presence really felt empowering to you. Try and remember those people who had an empowering impact for you to feel empowered about yourself. Now the question is, what were the common features in their behavior with you, which actually empowered? Yeah. So what was identified as a sensitive presence of another person in life of the first person, where complete faith is given to the concerned person on their ability to empower themselves. When we say coach, the first principle or first ethics is coach's faith in client's ability to grow themselves. Now, when we embody this mindset with openness, curiosity, flexibility, and total client-centered approach, it is ironically very few times people actually ask the beneficiary community women what they would like to have for their empowerment. That kind of active listening is very rare to find. Generally, the empowering agendas or empowering interventions are designed by somebody else without it being revealed by the concerned person
And empowerment is such an inner journey. It is such an being level thing that external changes work only for a limited period. That being level change happens when somebody treats another person with unconditional faith, listening, and a space to be. So what we found in our work with women farmers is, by providing that sensitive presence, half the work in empowering them already got started without us being the rescuer.
So Mukta, can I check something with you, please? It's very interesting what you're saying.
Sure.
Because normally, you know, this woman empowerment, although it starts internally, has some lots of external benefits, and you can see the external side of it. And so I'm very curious to know. So you're saying the approach used with women empowerment was largely coaching. It was a coaching approach used, right?
Rather, I would say coaching is the only intervention which we do. And by doing coaching only, we are empowering women. We have already touched 1 lakh women membership in Maharashtra and Gujarat. And what we do is only coaching, nothing more, nothing less. And initially, we were challenged by many people. About how would it work, and we only thing we could say is, let us see. So it started as an experiment, and today it has grown like a movement.
The curiosity that I had in me was, how did the woman initially receive it? You know, receive the coaching.
Initially. They took time to understand. When it was told to them that here is a one life coach going to be provided, they asked many questions to the host organizing that coaching event or that coaching call. Many questions were asked to the host. But when the actual conversation started, you can say that there were initial dropouts. Nearly 30 to 35% people did not join the call out of total invited. Only 60, 65% people allowed that experiment to happen in their life and came for that call. Now that call was a group call. So team of 40 people on one side of the call and one single coach, that is me, on other side of the call. A simple telecon call, something similar to this one. And what they took time to understand and grasp is, here is a person who is not having an issue or agenda of her own and who has complete faith in our ability to empower ourselves and who is just being with us with that appreciative unconditional faith about us. So the initial conversation was lots of pauses, lots of silence, my happy face without any sign of concern or pity on my face, no preaching from my side. And we just allowed that space to be with total respect for the client to raise any concern or any issue, whatever comes to their mind for that conversation. Very typical of a coaching requirement. And I remember my first call with the tribal women on the other side, 40 of them. They could have asked many things, but that space of complete unconditional faith did something to them. And things started working. And I have tried this not only in Gujarat, then in Maharashtra, then in Bihar. So you can say I have tried it at least at 18 different locations having this first conversation. Now here we may not get time to have that coaching agreement, specific structured discussions, but something happens when you just be at ease with that openness, curiosity, and total flexibility with whatever client may want to focus the conversation on. Somehow, every time, when you allow the beneficiary or the target community or the client, whichever way you want to address them, when you allow them to lead the conversation, it goes on very, very empowering direction. If we can just dance with them rather than we leading an empowering prescription for them.
Thank you, Mugda. You go on. I'll be quiet now for a while.
Yeah. Moving on, after having a series of such conversations, we started noting our observations, our own experience of each clientele interactions, and started building on those sensitivity, not only on clients' own identity from others' eyes, but also from the perspective of their own identity in their own eyes. So when we talk about women farmers, in the context of women farmers, they have a very stereotypical image which they carry. They are supposed to be marginal. They are likely to be more of farm labor or Mr. Farmer's wife farmer. And this is supposed to be not much literate, may not own the land. So the kind of image we carry is very, very bleak. And bleaker is her own self-image. If you ask her that, okay, you are a woman farmer, so she would say, no, I am not a farmer. I just support my husband in farming. So actually it took time in Indian culture to even, in the same culture where Mother India is talked about, where Mother India movie had a lead role playing a woman farmer's role. In spite of that culture, somewhere those cultural ties were loosened. And the distorted identity was prevalent. Once we started developing that sensitivity in our mind, we started building on what is talked in 6.6 competency as which she carry her own powerlessness, the themes which she carry about her family, not having the privilege to do farming, but a compulsion to do farming. The trends of migrations and the patterns of them telling their children not to go for agriculture, rather go for some agri services in corporates or government. Now, with these things in mind, we need to, as a coach in empowering women, we had to be prepared for certain adaptations which may come up. So, yes, we started with complete blank space from a sensitive presence, and then second stage prepared for relevant adaptations also. Now, what does this mean in terms of some other competencies is how we can develop all stakeholder inclusive, respectable language and signposting. I have chosen some extracts of the competencies to highlight what are relevant for women empowerment. Because when we saw women, they seem to be thinking very, very inclusive of all stakeholders. If you start a feminist speech saying that, oh, you are not being treated well by your family, oh, how orthodox of your society, then we start seeing a body language in them which actually puts them back in the shell. If we can develop our own language, which is all stakeholder inclusive, if you start talking about family partnership, how community is a extended version of how you manage your family, then the chosen language, because it is all stakeholder inclusive, respectable for everyone, we could do a much better service in keeping the empowerment journey on track for women and allowing them to continue to feel empowered, focusing on themselves. Without allowing them, in other words, to put external locus of control. And many a times, the adaptations may require us to signpost their queries or their concerns to relevant experts. Just as we say in coaching, we need not know all the answers. At times, counselors may be a better person to guide the journey, or a psychotherapist, or an educator, or a collaborating partner. There are n number of people who might do a better job than a coach. Even if we can be a good companion on her journey, first thing is taken care of, that she's not feeling alone about that journey. Once that's ensured with a respectable, inclusive language, that we are not going to affect any of her existing relationship or traditional preferences, then signposting comes very easy if required. When we do this, that is where we found that we were able to cultivate trust, safety, and free sharing on their part in the conversation much more easily. So when I do a Kasturi program, as we call our program, in Kasturi, the Kasturi word is coming from a Kasturi deer. And the key learning or the moral of that deer is the answer lies within. It is a famous story in Indian culture, hence the name Kasturi. We only talk about the answer lies within. And still, we are able to cultivate trust, safety, and free sharing by women on their journey to self-empowerment. So we are used by many organizations, NGOs, government, CSR partners, just to help them see where their women stands for really doing the focused group discussions, for the real community need assessments, for real co-ownership by the beneficiaries, because we create that environment through coaching applications. Moving further, what we realized is the roots are in self-limiting image. Her self-limiting image in relationship with herself, her family, and world. Now, if you see carefully, these are the same self-limiting images which we actually tackle in for any client in general, either of them, or a combination of them. So, in a way, you may say that there is nothing unique about it. And yet, the way we look at them, the kind of emphasis we have, is where we start with self. Especially with women, we have seen that her own version of self-care needs quite a great attention. So if I have to allocate percentage of self-limiting beliefs, it is like 70% on self-limiting belief about themselves, 20% about their relationship with their family members, and 10%. So we developed a program, an entire intervention of mentoring and training based on having conversations, crucial conversations on these three aspects. First, helping her discover leadership in herself. Then in day two, we talk about how under her leadership, family welfare and family partnerships can be optimized. And the third day becomes just a logical extension on how she can lead collaborations in the community, whether entrepreneurially or as a social enterprise or on a social cause. The third day becomes easiest. Second day is quite active. But actually, it is the first day on which we build the foundation, her relationship with herself. The typical of women part is in having family in the center. She looks at family as a quite a different priority, especially in India, especially with the emotional themes and trends and the cultural stereotypical realities which we have. We were otherwise thinking in terms of intrapersonal and interpersonal, but here comes women and especially mothers, where we have to tackle family as a separate special subject, because family is the one. Her relationship and her approach towards family can decide whether she uses the family as an accelerator or as a speed breaker for her own life.
Can you share what empowerment did you witness in these tribal women? Can you share some examples? What empowerment did you notice in them?
Yeah, sure. I would like to share one example. This is in northern Gujarat, tribal district, dense forest area, where that lady was went totally into her shell because of accidental death of her son. And we were told that here is a lady who is totally on her suicidal mission. People were very concerned about her suicidal tendencies. So when we said we do coaching, they said, here is the first case. Turn her around and we believe you. So all we could not have done anything about that accidental death, which has already happened. But what we could do is just be with her and allow her to vent the story about her relationship with her son. And when we kept our appreciative presence on and on and on without any hurry to bring her to discuss anything else until unless she wanted to, she started using the same story to empower herself. So there was a, you can say she hit the bottom hard and she herself turned herself around saying that my son used to say this, that mother, you should do this. Now I know my son's presence even now. I can feel him. World may say whatever. So she started using her emotional themes, her cultural beliefs to take care of her own emotions and started saying that now my son, if he would have been here, he would have said so many things about how I should not be crying and not thinking on these lines. Now, if I'm still in the world, I better do something significant, which my son's soul will be feel proud about. And then she started asking that we are living in a tribal area and all we have is forest produce and some buffalo milk. Now, I want my women to become prosperous and we should have some brighter future for others' sons because everybody's son is now my son. So she herself started going on that journey. Again, we remained away from prescribing anything. So she started explaining the hurdles. Now, all this is not happening in one conversations, but we simply made friends who believe in her and we says we are available. Slowly and gradually, she developed jamun seeds products, millet products. Today, she has started a first dairy or created by tribal women where their main produce is desi ghee. So they are selling away the milk to local dairy providers, but creating a product which has a much 1 year shelf life value and directly marketing it with us at Kasturi, because now she started thinking, oh, urban women are also friends. Okay, here I have Mugdha Shah. She's just like one more person in my community. I do not have to feel afraid of language. I do not have to feel afraid of anything. So if I can talk to her, I can talk to anybody in urban areas. So she herself cultivated that brand. And it's a big success story in Gujarat now. Similar many cases of suicide farmers. So again, for widows, she started creating her own mess and tiffin service in memory of her own husband who used to love her food. Now, in such traumatic situation and with such diverse background, me as an urban Mumbai city woman coach could not have said anything which could have made her feel empathy, except my innocent, open-ended, flexible, curious, sensitive presence. Any preaching on my part could have easily created a reaction from them. Oh, you think you know? Somebody has to go through it to understand the pain. But when no preaching happens on the, from the other side, that humility sparks the divinity in the other, and that divinity remains. If you can just be in regular touch with them as per your coaching call schedule, they themselves look forward to having a call with you and feel again that divinity within, and then they will try to offer you good news one after the other while you are just being witness, frankly speaking. So today I have 30 such success stories, which are state level and beyond. People winning state level Women Farmers Awards, people winning Women Social Enterprise Awards within 1 year's time, whereas their NGO was working on them since 7 to 8 years before us. So many such stories.
Mukta, that was such a beautiful story to listen to. And yeah, it just touches the inside of you, touches the inside of me at least.
Okay. So see, here is my logo of my program called Kasturi. It works only on the I, the self-image, the family image in her mind, her own role in the family, and her own role in the society. By just working on that I, we connect her with the entire world across the value chain of all her stakeholders. And in simple words, we talk about our process as 4-step process. We help her see herself, help her express herself, help her lead her life her way on her terms and conditions, with a reassurance that if she does that to herself, it can fulfill any of her visions. So again, the short form is SELF. So we make them work on herself. So it is a total introvert intervention, and still it works wonder in the world outside. Few more things. Yes, it helps evoking awareness. And once you evoke the awareness, it automatically facilitates clients' growth autonomously without our presence. I belong to a program of Tata's. This program is fully well off in terms of resources. But in this program, the beneficiary is not asking for resources. There will be many thoughts on your mind. So my request is just note my number. And if you want to know more stories, more specifications, if you want to meet those people or meet me, we can have one-on-one conversations also.
Mukta, I know you also had a website, right?
Yes.
Where people can go and register.
Yeah, the registration is not still online because my clientele are still learning how to do that. But I can always tell you the website. It says mykasturi.org. So one thing worth looking at in this is we use the word my, because it is, again, Kasturi is not somebody else's program. She has to look at the musk within her navel. So we say the community, if community is the musk deer, then the musk is the woman. If farmer is the community, then the woman farmer is the musk. They better rejuvenate themselves with the help of that musk. So empowering women is required for empowering society, because she's the musk.
You know, Mukta, I could only imagine the value you got out of this program.
Yeah, the first beneficiary is me, myself.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that. I mean, I know you're not talking about it, but we'd love to hear from you. You know, what did you get out of this program?
Everything.
Yeah.
Let me tell you that before starting this program, I spent, I'm a pakka TISS HR professional. I did nothing feminine for 18 years of my career. Pakka human resource professional. See, it was just out of the sectoral requirement. I realized that by focusing on women, which is one of the most untapped human potential in this sector, we can actually save the sector. And that is how this journey started 4 years back. I started studying women more carefully. And so far, whatever human resource development or L&D work I did in my last 16 years, last 3 years has given me wonderful rewards, including what dancing on the tunes of my women client helped me achieve my MCC in the first attempt. No coach practitioner clearing the MCC in first attempt, thanks to my clients, all women, mothers, who made it easier for me to have faith in their ability to empower themselves. So coaching competencies came very natural to me. And I was wondering whether am I away from how people look at, and coaching gave me the reassurance that no, it is the path. It is the empowering path. And if I can empower, use this for empowering bottom of the bottom pyramid, marginal of the marginal, landless, labor, rural women, then one can imagine that this stands true for everybody in the society, every human being. I have learned much more than any client would have got from me. So I would invite everybody who wants to have a coaching career, have some women, mothers, some underprivileged women as your clientele. They will enrich your coaching journey immensely without you having to pay for it.
You know, Mukta, I share this the Kasturi progress and story with you for quite some time now. And every time you talk about it, I still get that warm, fuzzy feeling inside and sometimes a tear in my eye, because it's so inspirational what you have done, that take a step forward and really put yourself fully into it, in, as you said, trust and faith and with sensitivity. And I heard you repeatedly talk about the language you use. Yeah. That's up to you for a beautiful project, for making such a difference.
Yeah, on a lighter note, I would like to share a story, a well-known story to everybody. It is about King Arthur and the witch. When King Arthur goes to find out what a woman really wants, and he ends up meeting a witch who may know the answer. And she says that I will answer it only if you marry me. And so he says, okay, so be it, I will marry you, because he needed the answer to save the kingdom. So she says, okay, for 12 hours, out of 24 hours, I'll be a deadly devil. And for 12 hours out of 24 hours, I'll be a fairy. So now you choose which 12 hours, daytime or nighttime, you want me to be a fairy or a witch. So he, although out of his reluctance, ends up saying that whatever you want. And he ends up getting a wife who is a 24-hour fairy. And he says, what happened to that 12-hour threat you had given? She said, it is just to tell you the answer that to your question, that what a woman really wants is a freedom to be accepted and loved and trusted and respected for being herself. So once you allow her to be herself, she knows how to heal herself and her society. So I remember that story, and I just end up giving that scarf treatment to women, telling them that I'm here for a lifetime with them. The relationship will not be over. And I believe in them. Whenever they want to have rejuvenate their faith in them, I'm available on call. My faith in them will never fade or fluctuate. So just that assurance, and I'm getting all success stories, and my career is gaga, thanks to them. So I wish everybody to apply this with all the women in their life, in their personal life, in their family life, clients, of course. My best wishes to all. So yes, freedom is the basic need for women. And freedom is the basic fundamental for happiness. And once a free, happy soul start looking at self-review and introspect, in India, we say it is in, and then dia means lamp. If one person is happy, free to look at inside, then they will find their own lamp to guide themselves.
Well said there, beautifully said.
Some perks: my relationship with my sister, my mother, my lady boss, everything improved.
So, Mukta?
Yeah.
How many women are there in the project currently?
So as I said, we have touched 1 lakh mark. And now we are going to start in all 6 divisions of the country, that is East, West, North, South, Central and Northeast. So soon we are planning to multiply it as we move along. So we try to touch 3 lakh mark next year and multiply from there on. It is possible only when people are self-empowering themselves. That is where we can move so fast. It is my clients' magic that they are moving in such numbers. And there was one interesting question asked: what are those parallels in corporate clients and these tribals? Frankly speaking, really, really speaking, no difference. Ultimately, with every human being, they are struggling because of their own self-created cocoons, their own self-limiting beliefs, which they have carefully crafted around themselves. And they have approached us because they have already started feeling the suffocation. So they are already in their journey to break their own cocoons. Now it is for us not to use the scissor to cut the cocoon. Otherwise, we actually make them crawling butterflies. We don't want that to happen. So we need to be with them while they are breaking their cocoon, flexing their muscles. They themselves will do it. Just like a hen just gives warmth to eggs for chicken to come out. Any inside out development happens when we give warmth and patience and faith. It works on every life, not only human, everybody. Woman farmer is just one example because I'm working with it, I used it. I invite you to use it on each and every client in whatever may be the context, and my number is with you. I assure you with 100% guarantee, because it's such fundamental to life. A plant needs space to blossom and some space.
How big, how huge was your team?
Really good question. Me plus 2 members, 3 member team, and 30 institutional partners. Their institutional membership is touching 1 lakh. We are creating trainers and master trainers, and we are just saying that you, if you face any problems while going ahead with this approach, call us. So we are creating ripples and 3 layers of ripples. Next year, we'll be making master trainers. We call them trainers because in this sector, trainer word is very easily understood. But what the training content is all about: coaching. How they already know the answers. So it is 3 member, 30 institutions. Yeah.
There's a lot of, I know there's a lot of people, especially women, who want to reach out and do these kind of projects. And somehow don't get to do it as, you know, as quickly as they like to, or there's something standing in the way or holding them back. What are your tips?
Contact me. I will have so many opportunities. So many opportunities. You can define the kind of client you would like to share your few minutes of coaching presence with. Any profile, any specific state, any specific background of women. And you can be sure that I would have those clients waiting for you. We can do the matchmaking. And once you taste the blood, as I say, once you taste the how empowering it feels when somebody gets empowered just by your being present with them, you are going to do more with or without my clients. But if you are in a dilemma, I'll make the most out of it by benefiting my clients through your coaching. So any coaches, red carpet welcome. Woman empowerment journey under coaching has started late, but people are giving immense response.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. You can listen and subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. We launch new episodes weekly. To learn more about coaching, leadership, and self-development, visit us at coacharya.com. That's coacharya.com. See you next time.